May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, after an exceptionally long and boring sermon, the congregation filed out of the church, not saying a word to the pastor. After a while, a man shook the pastor's hand and said, "Pastor, that sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." Well, the pastor was ecstatic. No one had ever said anything like that about one of his sermons before. "Tell me, how did it remind you of the peace and love of God?" "Well," said the man, "it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all human understanding. And it reminded me of the love of God because it endured forever." So our recent Bible readings during this Advent time and in the run-up to Advent has been conjuring up images of the coming of a massive, inconceivable change, a new age in which everything will be different. So we're kind of passing through that type of age at the moment with everything changing around in our parish. But these references are to the world as a whole and all that's in it. And at the end of time to come, it will be restored to harmony and peace. Hopeful stuff. But before we get there, the prophets prophesy that we're going to need to go through some tough times. And Isaiah, for example, was speaking of such impending chaos. But beyond that lies the hope of restoration and the coming of the Messiah, who will bring peace and shalom. And that godly peace, shalom, has a really deep, rich meaning. It speaks of wholeness. It's a piece of completeness, of health and wholeness. So it goes far beyond just lack of conflict, although that's part of it as well. A harmony and peace is the type of shalom that the Messiah will usher in. And we know that from the coming of Jesus. So we are living into that peace and shalom even now. And the Messiah, whom we know to be Jesus, the Jews, in their scriptures, they foretold the coming of the Messiah. They don't acknowledge Jesus, many of them. And so they're still waiting for the Messiah. And the Messiah they're waiting for is the expected king of the Davidic line who will deliver Israel from foreign bondage and restore the glories of its golden age. So that's the Messiah that they're awaiting. And in Christianity, the Messiah that we speak of is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Christ coming from the Greek word Christos, and it means the anointed one. And the Christ has come to bring peace and salvation to his people. And he will come again, and this is part of our teaching. The Christ will come again, and in that time will usher in the fulfillment of all of God's promises at the end of time. And it's not just a promise for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well, for all people, all nations. In our passage from the prophet Isaiah, he spoke of God cutting down Israel like a majestic tree in its prime, leaving us with a stump. And so all of that is in reference to something that has already happened in the past with the Assyrian invasion of Israel. And Israel, the Israeli Empire, was attacked and reduced to this metaphor of a shattered stump. But the prophecy is that this stump will begin to show signs of new life. So I was thinking about this because I used to do tree planting around 1987. And so it was in Northern Ontario and they would clear cut. And so you'd go in with your big bag full of little seedling trees and replant this clear-cut area. And so here we are 33 years later, and I like to think that new forests are growing. But the time frame that we're talking about with Isaiah's prophecy is millennia long, and we continue to await the emergence of this new growth, the fullness of this growth that he prophesied. Then we have in Matthew's gospel another prophet, John the Baptist, who, like Isaiah, anticipates the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of God's people. And John the Baptist speaks to us about the nearness of God's reign, and his message is one of urgency. Repent, for God's kingdom has come near. John is, as Isaiah foretold, the voice. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and the prophet's message, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And we do that through repentance. And repentance means turn around and change, not just your heart, but your mind as well. So there's a strong sense of a turning your lives around and converting and focusing on God. So all the people of Jerusalem and all Judea, we're told, were going out to John in the wilderness, for they wanted to put things right with God and get ready for the coming of God's kingdom. And John was helping them to prepare through his baptism of repentance. The religious types of his day, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they were, well, John had strong words for them and scolded them. Who warned you about the wrath that is to come? Calling them a brood of vipers, and warns them not to think that they're safe just because they think they're in the right group, or who they are as descendants of Abraham, because John said God could raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And just like that. And John says, even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. So that image is John saying that the time for conversion is nearly over. The axe is at the tree, and the moment of judgment is soon to arrive. And so the image of the tree being cut down and thrown into the fire relates to the destruction of the wicked, which will happen at the end time, and the judgment that is to come at the end time. And so these readings that we have in this penitential season, they're all a wake-up call, shaking us up, warning us that at the end of time with the second coming, the judgment will be upon us. And so you want to be ready. You want to be awake and ready. So it's a little bit of a scary message, but in that is also the good news that salvation is coming. Someone is coming more powerful than I, John says. So get ready. And how are we to prepare? By that conversion of mind, that repentance, and setting out to live a God-centered life. And for starters, get rid of everything that's blocking the way of the one who is to come. So get rid of any greed and selfishness, or hostility and resentment, or doubt and despair. And we do that by keeping our eyes, our inner sight, fixed on God. Be awake, be watchful, and watching in that inner sense, that spiritual sense of the greater reality that is unseen. Because of the coming of Jesus at that first Christmas and the teachings of the church, we can know now, in part, what heaven is like. For in him, in Christ, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And because of Jesus' example and teaching, we know what we need to do. Love one another, serve one another, and praise God. Let us not forget about praising God. We don't do that enough. And the great paradox here is that we need Jesus to help us. So we need Jesus now as we prepare for him to come. So during this season of Advent, as we wait and hope for the coming of Jesus into our hearts and into our world, Let us make his presence in this world a reality by doing good deeds, by supporting our church, by supporting a charitable cause, and loving our neighbor. Do what you can to make God's kingdom come. Thanks be to God, through Christ our Lord. Amen.